Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. On the cross, Jesus was nailed. He suffered and he died. And the pain that he experienced was excruciating. But it was similar to the physical pain of others in that day. You see, crucifixions were common. They were used by Rome to control the population. And so why then do we remember the crucifixion of Jesus, but not the crucifixion of so many others? What was it about his death that is so different? There simply must be something more to the murder than the blood-stained wood. Because if there's not, then what makes his death different than all the rest? Now, we know the answer to this, and we accept it as fact. Jesus didn't simply die a death more painful than we can imagine. The blood that he shed and the death that he experienced might be unimaginable, but there was more to it than that. As he hung on the cross, all sin was placed upon his shoulders, and the full wrath of God was released upon him. And there, in that moment, he experienced an agony worse than any nail or whip as the Father turned his head and separated himself from Jesus. Now, all of this we accept. We even proclaim it. And it's easy for us to do that when the sun is shining brightly in our lives and there are no storm clouds to be seen. You see, it's easy for us to look at him and announce that by his blood, we are healed and our sins are forgiven. And it's easy to stand in the spotlight of our own lives and confirm that this is what we hold to be true. And it's easy to claim this as our own, to even be proud of our faith. And at times like these, we may even wear it as a badge of honor, like something we have earned, and we show it off as part of our accomplishments. And if the day is bright enough, if our lives are going well enough, we sometimes even tell ourselves that because of this faith, we can handle anything, anything that might come our way. But hear this. The days may be long, but the night always follows. And then what? Now there's the opening lyrics to a Natalie Grant song. And it starts like this. My feet are tired from the running. My strength is gone for overcoming. My lips are silent, and I don't know what to pray. You see, in our good times, we look to the cross and we remind ourselves that it has meaning, that the death of Jesus has meaning. And we look past his suffering and we see the empty tomb, and we remind ourselves that that too has meaning. And we stand proud in our faith because we are certain that his work, Christ's work, has meaning in our lives now and for all of eternity. But what do we see when our feet are tired and our strength is gone? What do we see when we don't know what to pray. What does the cross tell us during these times when we're sitting next to our loved one who will be taking his last breath at any moment? How proud are we of our faith when the person that we've been married to all of these years begins to forget who we even are? And where's our faith when we're in the midst of marital trouble and facing a divorce? See, in these times, we might be tempted to look upon the cross and see someone who had more faith than we do. We may remember that even in the darkest moment, when the Father turned his head, Jesus never, not even for a second, stopped trusting in him. But here we stand, in the midst of our own lives, our own troubles, our own anguish. And we know in our minds that even though the Father would never turn from us, never forsaken us, we can only, just for the very briefest of moments, place our trust in him. What does that say about our faith? See, in these dark hours, when your faith is at its most vulnerable, Satan attempts to steal it. He points you to the cross, and he confirms for you what Jesus has done for you. And then he questions if you really believe it. How can you have saving faith, he asks, if you question God during these times in your life? Maybe, just maybe, you don't have enough faith and Jesus didn't die for you. Maybe your faith isn't as strong as you think it is. Yet these times, even, our epistle passage tempt us to succumb to Satan's prodding if we're not careful. We read verses like we read today, verse 4, "By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God." And we continue, we read verses like these. "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that was to receive as, that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. And by faith, he went out to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. And by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past that age, since she considered him faithful who had promised." See, these are verses from today. They talk of a faith that is clearly strong, clearly unwavering. And they talk of a faith that is rewarded by God for its strength. So what does that say about how God views our own struggling faith? You see, if we're not careful, Satan will use passages like these to prove his point. Abraham, Enoch, Sarah, they had strong faith. They were all righteous in the eyes of God. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. But what of you, Satan asks? What has God prepared for you? Maybe it's just more pain, more agony. Maybe it's just more sorrow. Maybe that's all He has for you. Or maybe, Satan says, you don't even have enough faith for Him to even bother with you. Maybe you're just forgotten by God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. See, this is where Satan is wrong. These passages don't proclaim Abraham's faith. Abraham didn't have his own faith. He had God's faith. And Enoch didn't have his own faith. He had God's faith. And so it was with Sarah as well. The faith that they had was a faith that had been given to them, a faith that had been built and fortified within them through the Holy Spirit. The strength of their faith was not from their own doing. Strength of their faith was born from the acknowledgement that on their own they had no faith. For they knew that their faith was non-existent if not for the Holy Spirit. You see, Abraham, Enoch, Sarah had their own dark hours. And in those times, they relied not on their own strength, but on God's strength to give them the faith that they needed. This is another lie from Satan. He tells us that we need strength like them, and he leads us to believe that we are responsible for building it. But he fails to tell us that our faith is more like theirs than like Jesus's. He fails to tell us that this is what God expects from us. Satan wants us to compare our faith to Christ and not to Abraham. And if we succumb to that lie, we start to question our own worth. We start to question our own faith and our own standing before God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. God doesn't ask for perfect faith. God doesn't even ask for great faith. Doesn't even ask for good faith. Because He knows that we cannot accomplish even that. What He does ask for is to acknowledge that Jesus had perfect faith, but we do not. He wants us to recognize our own poverty of faith. Because when we do, when we remove that badge of honor that we placed upon our chest, when we abandon all pride that we have in ourselves, we then recognize the poverty of faith. And when we do, we look upon the cross and we realize that if we had perfect faith, Jesus' death would have been a waste. And in that moment, we begin to understand that faith is not a goal to be achieved or a stick by which we are measured by the Father. In that moment, we realize that faith is not a badge. We realize finally that faith is knowing that we cannot achieve it, cannot acquire it, but Jesus could. And Jesus did. And He did it for us. See, faith is the poverty of spirit and the surrender of ever believing that we can achieve it on our own. And we all have these dark times, and some of you might be experiencing it today. You can't make sense of the situation, and you can't seem to keep your complete trust in Jesus. thoughts enter into your mind that you're ashamed of. You begin to question the strength of your faith, for you believe that it should be stronger than it is. And you look to the cross, and all you see is someone who had strength that was much stronger than yours. You read Scripture, and you find people who seem to have faith that is much stronger than yours. You hear them talk to God, and they always seem to know exactly what to say. But right now, today, you don't know what to say. You don't know what to pray. And in your mind, and even in your heart, you know that Jesus suffered terribly for you. And you know that because of this, he can relate to what you're going through. And you know that he not only understands your suffering, but he shares and actively participates in it with you. You know all this. But then you hear the whispers of Satan telling you that maybe you don't have enough faith. Maybe you don't have enough faith to make the death of Jesus mean anything to you. That you don't have enough faith to solicit the ear of God for your pleas. That maybe you don't have enough faith and Jesus has just stopped listening to you. If this is you, I have a message. Faith is not knowing what to pray. Faith is not thinking that you have enough of it or not enough of it. Faith is the recognition that you don't have enough. And that's exactly the point. Faith is coming empty-handed to the cross and begging God to give you the faith that you need. You can't do it by yourself. Faith is knowing that if you had faith that you need to trust God to get you through these times, you wouldn't need Jesus. And faith is knowing that you need Jesus every moment of your life. Faith is knowing that God knows this and that he responds to you by pouring out the Holy Spirit into your situation. And faith is knowing that even if you don't feel him in the moment, even if you don't seem to have the strength to cling to him in that moment, he's clinging to you with all his strength. With all his might. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will inherit the kingdom of God. Please pray with me. My feet are tired from running. My strength is gone for overcoming. My lips are silent, and I don't know what to pray. And so I'll wait for you. My eyes have seen your hand deliver. My heart remembers you, my help and my defender. My well runs dry, but I've known the taste of rain. And so I'll wait for you. And here I am, I'm reaching out. I need you always, and I need you now. I'm coming close so we can stay hand in hand until we stand face to face. May the Lord be with you always, even when you cannot see him. Amen.